Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Yeah, they can see you. We saw the Denver Nuggets last night, which surprised a lot of people in the Western Conference NBA semifinals, came back, where the Denver Nuggets, 114, our L.A. Lakers, 106. I'm telling you, I'm a Lakers fan, but I was kind of happy for the Nuggets. Full disclosure, I'm just telling you, to make it out of the series.
They had a little more fight in them than I thought they did. I thought they would fold. They had a little more fight than I thought they would have. I thought they would fold, coming off of that heartbreaking loss, you know, from the last game. But they didn't. They were like, you got us. You're right. Because we really believe that if we win tonight, we should have been 2-2.
Right.
That's the way we look at it. I was like, wow. Okay. All right. Nice. Nice fight.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Well, 2-1, you mean? 2-1, yeah, right? Yeah, 2-1. Yeah. Because I'll tell you one thing. If Anthony Davis had made that jump shot, they would have been up 2-1.
Right.
If he had made a jump shot the previous game. Denver 114, Lakers 106, Jamal Murray had 28. LeBron James had, and I know this is going to sound really stupid, had a quiet 30 points. I mean, people are like, well, how can you have a quiet 30 points?
Hello. You know.
Contributed 30 points.
There you go. He added 30.
Added 30 to lead his team.
Right. And I guess, you know, I guess we hard on LeBron because, but see, like with LeBron, like there was a moment in the game where he said, you know what, I'm LeBron James, get the hell out of my way. I'm going to take this thing over. And he did. Then all of a sudden, we forgot about him. Or he forgot about himself. And he just, I mean, guy had a triple double. 30, 10, and 11. And you'd be thinking like, Anyway, let's hear from some of the guys that participated. Let's hear from Jamal Murray. Talked about his experience from the previous series really helped him. Let's take a listen.
Well, sometimes there's teams that are just better than you. And there's sometimes, you know, guys have the talent to do it. Their teams have talent to do it. It's like we have a legit chance to win that series. It just came down to our own mistakes, self-inflicted wounds that we had, breakdowns that we couldn't afford. And we've had them this series too, but we tried to correct them earlier and be more prepared for stuff. So definitely that one playoff experience that we had, definitely we can always look back to it and remember that feeling because we don't want to lose when we know that we have the talent to win.
Jamal Murray from the Denver Nuggets, yeah.
Nice. All right, Jamal. Jokic, the Joker.
The Joker be just balling. He the kind of kid, man. People that say, you know, you go into a game in a neighborhood you're not familiar. You just walk in there. You don't know everybody, so you start guarding this guy because you think you can get him, right? All of a sudden, you're like, who's this dude?
let me get the guy with the wristbands and look the high socks.
Yeah.
And the Converse with the one star on the side. Let me pick that guy. You sure?
And that guy.
He's tall. He may be taller than that's all. Nah, I got him. Let me get him.
Man, Joker be going to your ass. That's all you can say. I mean, making so many different types of shots. Shots that don't make sense. Straight old school, new school. Hell, I'm not sure what kind of school his game is. But he gets it done. He ended up at 22 and 10 last night. OAD played decent. He dropped 27. But at one point in the game, he only got his first rebound like about 3 minutes ago in the game. How can you be 6'10 and only having a rebound? That's just another conversation we're going to have.
Well, you know the answer to that question.
What's that?
Well, getting rebounds, you have to be, you know, reasonably close to the rim. Now, I mean, Mr. Three-Pointer, you know, we'll never see him anywhere close to the rim again.
You're probably right. Hey, man, that's just some more sound for last night. Here's LeBron James, who we talked about earlier, says that he had same mistakes as game two. Okay, LeBron, let's take a listen.
Turn the ball over too much. We put him to the free throw line. I give credit where credit is due, though. Denver came in and played exceptionally well. They played better than us, more aggressive than us through three quarters, 36 minutes. But, you know, there's been a penalty in the third quarter with like 9.5 minutes to go. And we had some turnovers that led to some easy buckets for them. We had 16 turnovers for 25 points, and we put them to the line 29 times. So it's not going to be winning ingredients for us if we continue to do that. And we knew that even after game two, we talked about that, trying to assure that. So we got to be better in that game four.
Okay. Yeah, he was right about they were in the penalty like with 9 minutes going in the third quarter because the Lakers were fouling so much. And that put him at a disadvantage. Yep, I do remember that. And real quickly, let's hear from our head coach, Mike Malone of Denver. Talks about his team's resiliency.
No lead is safe, especially against a team like that. And that's where I'm not sure what they cut it to, Malika, whether it's one or three, but it got to be really close.
Well, Malika, that's a question.
And that's when I was proud that we gave up our lead, but we didn't collapse. You know, we withstood their run, their punch, and we had the poise to get ourselves out of it. And, you know, that's a sign of a team that's been a lot of close games, to your point, and has won a lot of close games in the last 3-4 years.
I was 25 feet away from the mouth of Mike Malone.
when he said, that's a good question, Malika.
Hey, man, but he that's funny. He was a crucial point of the game last night when Jamal Murray dropped a three to make the game 111-99. Let's take a listen how it went down.
Jamal Murray standing inside a half court, palming it with a right hand, runs his man through a Jokic screen. Jamal Murray's going to try a 28-foot three, and he buries that one as well. 28 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds. Denver 111, Lakers 99 with 53 seconds left.
Now he was shooting that Steph Curry jump shot. No, 28, 30 feet away. I knew then, I said, you know what? I think Denver may have this one.
Yeah, it was I just had that. I don't know. It just felt like Denver would win that game because the last one they played really well. It's they lost on the last second shot. I said, and I just don't think the Lakers would come in and be able to finish them off. You know, put the nail in the coffin, so to speak.
Yeah. Well. Well, they did, and the one of the reasons they did that because they had that pesky Zero Sugar and they Mountain Dew Zero Sugar to get them going, push them through that, because the game was fast-paced. They needed some energy, so that's why they had the Mountain Dew Zero Sugar and the pesky Zero Sugar to get them going. And they rocked with the Fisher's Apparel, the sports shop. They had Under Armour on. It kept them right and kept them tight all through the night. It really did.
Get it right, get it tight. Call the park, Bubba Sparsh, Ying Yang Twins.
Oh, yeah, we definitely call it hump day on the sports shop. And you should be humping or whatever that's your business. How about this? How about waking up? How about getting up? Make sure you don't have that Zoom on, whatever you're doing, because kids got to go to school and don't get it confused. That's all I'm saying.
My thing is, I'm not judging people. You know, people walk around their homes, with all types of, attire on. Some more than others, some less than others. Because it's your home. You're comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Do you have a description of this? Us an idea of what you're talking about?
Sometimes, some people, you just got to say, put a damn shirt on. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to say...
Why are you dropping in on my Zooms?
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Other times you got to say, hey, Ma, they don't know you don't wear that, to bed. Can you put a robe on or something when you walk by my Zoom? I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying, you don't know what everybody wear to bed. Some people don't wear enough. I know one thing, it ain't enough to be on the Zoom call in the background. And little Jimmy and his little classmates going, ooh, is that your mama?
Oh, see, man.
See, that ain't what you want.
No, you don't want that. But you know,
or you get the other one, Reese. Or you get the other one. Ooh, is that your dad?
Ew. No, hey, ooh, it's ew. That's your dad.
Ew.
Right. Ew. Ew. That's your dad.
Ew.
Thank you for joining us on this hump day, a day we've never seen before. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. A lot of things jumping off. We talked about NBA. We'll get to that a little later as well. But, you know, we're in the middle of college football. College football started, but we're still in the middle, unfortunately, of this pandemic. And if each and every week we're going to hear something like this. Like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish had a game this weekend playing against Wake Forest. And that game has to be it was scheduled for this Saturday. It has been postponed after Notre Dame announced had 13 players in isolation. In a statement yesterday, Notre Dame said 7 players tested positive for coronavirus out of 94 tests done on Monday. Combined with testing results from last week, 13 players are in isolation with 10 in quarantine. As a result, Notre Dame has paused all football operations and related activities. The two schools, Notre Dame and Wake Forest, they're working out a date to reschedule the game. A statement from head coach Brian Kelly said, with student athlete health and safety our primary focus, we will continue to follow our prevention protocols and ongoing testing procedures. We managed an increase in positive rates in August, and the players handled that wonderfully, and I guess he's expected them to do the same this time. I think that they've already looking at a date, October the 3rd, which is an open date for both of those teams, Mac. So maybe they can play a week later, which is not too bad. But this is something we're going to see a lot going forward, right? We're going to see a lot of that.
It's getting a little dicey right now, though. It's getting a little, you know, it's starting to become, you know, more and more teams week after week, trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. What I'm concerned about is we're doing this now in a month, right? Or less, you know, a couple more weeks. Say you have 4 or 5 teams that have to do this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you got to try to juggle schedules. Like with what happened with UNC the other week.
Yeah.
Say that was, instead of just UNC, say that was 5 teams. That was UNC, Notre Dame, NC State, and maybe Syracuse.
Yeah,
or Pitt. It starts to get in at that point. Is we may have to make some decisions, which they don't want to. I'm sure they don't want to have to do that. But right now they're working the protocol. They're working, you know, what they set out to do.
Sure.
But and I'm sure they have a threshold of, you know, what would it take to kind of break, the mold, so to speak. And I'm sure 1 or 2 teams is not it.
Yeah. Conveniently, and they were lucky in this case, they had a new a date available. And real quickly, I do want to talk about Governor Cooper made a big announcement yesterday, in case people missed it, that venues which hold at least 10,000 people can operate at 7% capacity beginning October the 2nd, which means that kind of opens it up. 7% limit will allow like 5,000 like 5,200 fans at Bank of America Stadium now, right?
Mm.
So and Carter Finley, like 3,500, okay? Like 4,000 at Carter Finley and like 3,500 in Keenan and Chapel Hill, maybe like a 2,800 fans at Duke. So that's the 7% breakdown for those stadiums. Go ahead, Mac.
So that'll be about the same for Finley. I think.
See, you know what? I was gonna keep going, but I know you had a little joke you gonna drop right there.
No, I'm not joking. I'm being serious. That's about the same.
Okay,
right?
The same as what, K-Mac?
Same as normal.
Okay.
Carter
anyway.
Finley.
Anyway, so we'll follow it. So they're opening that up now. It's gonna be more than just parents to go to the game. So we'll follow that. Then at DC, I think we got a poll up associated with that, don't we, right quick?
We do, at Buzz Sports Radio on Twitter. With a limited number of fans being able to attend outdoor sporting events in North Carolina, would you consider attending? Right now, 65% of the people say no, they wouldn't consider going.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to get back on that. Right now, we're going to pause for the calls because I think we have a young lady that's part of our family, Community Impact, but she's calling in on Heister Automotive Group Hotline, and she is calling to talk about something that is extremely important. And pay attention because everybody is going to be affected. We have the great, the CEO, the firm, K-Mac, if you will, Pam Thompson-Smith. That's right. Talking about voter registration and all of everything that encompasses all that. Pam, good morning. Welcome to the Sports Shop. How you doing?
Good morning. The firm is in the house again. Early.
Yeah, no, real early. Really, but thank you for connecting. We really think that this topic is very, very important, particularly during this time of where we are in this country, where this time of year. So share with people what you want to talk about with us this morning.
Absolutely. So, again, I just want to thank you guys for the platform to be able to, one, you know, bring awareness to this, crucial time. It's, you know, it's almost voting time. So it's voting 2020. And so I'm excited to talk a little bit about just some updates that maybe people do not know. And so I am Pam Thompson-Smith, also known as The Firm, but you know, I have a few other titles. So today I am representing the North Carolina League of Conservation Voters, which is a nonprofit here out of North Carolina. And one of the main goals that we do is mobilizing and engaging our community in democracy. And so I have a staff of people that for the last several months, we've been registering people to vote, along with we have six other offices across North Carolina, Raleigh, Winston-Salem, Morganton, Delco, which is the Wilmington area, Greenville, and Fayetteville. So it is our job to engage people on the democracy process. And so one thing that I wanted to remind people of, a couple dates that we are just 16 days. There are only 16 days left in order to register to vote. So voter registration ends on October 9th in North Carolina. So it, you know, it ends in different cities and different states at other times. But for North Carolina, it's October 9th. So we need to keep that in mind that we only have 16 days left. And so one of the things that I've found with our team as we had to switch. Normally, we're out in the field. You see people out with the clipboards and at the different places and locations, and they're asking you, are you registered to vote? So we had to pivot a little bit and do this virtually. But on the phone, people are saying, oh, I'm registered. Oh, I'm registered. But are you really registered? That's the question for today. Are you really registered? And the reason that I want to pose that question is because in North Carolina, over 576,000 people have been purged since last year. And so it is worth the effort to check your registration because why would people be purged? There are a number of reasons. One could be that you haven't voted maybe in the last year or two, definitely 2 years, because we pick and choose. Like some people just vote in presidential elections, don't vote in the local elections. That could be one. Mm-hmm. You could move and not, you know, change your address. It could be a number of reasons why people have been purged. It's something that happens is mandated by the law that they do that. So, but this one is a big one, and it's actually being called the Great North Carolina Purging. So we want you to make sure that you're registered to vote. But of that 500,000, the thing that screams important to me is 200,000 of the purged voters are people of color. And we really need to get out to vote. And so we want to make sure that you don't go to the polls thinking that you're registered and you're not registered. So it only takes 2 minutes. You go to wevotenorthcarolina.org/Pam. wevotenorthcarolina.org/Pam. Yeah, I got my own link. You know, it's the firm.
So, Pam, so it's not NC. It's actually North Carolina spelled out.
Well, it is NC, yes. wevotenc.org/Pam.
Right, okay. Okay,
good. Yeah, wevotenc.org/Pam. And that will take you to the site, which is part of our NCLCVF site, and you're able to, within a couple minutes, you can check your voter registration, or if you've never registered before, you can vote. I mean, you can register at that point. So it's really like a couple minutes, and it'll take you through the whole process.
I got a quick question. We're talking to Pam Thompson-Smith, who's on here today talking about registering to vote and some of the purging of records and voting records. Bam. So we don't have, you can't walk up and register and vote on the spot like here in North Carolina. You can't do that, could you?
Not after the 9th.
Okay, gotcha.
After the 9th of October?
October.
Yep, so we're 16 days out. And so we thank you guys for, you know, giving us this opportunity to push it, and we hope that you'll continue to just kind of remind people between now and October 9th, make sure that not only just you, but, you know, your family, your friends, send them a text, right. You know, are you registered? Give them that link, wevotenc.org/Pam, you know, so we just want to make sure that you're registered and that all your family and friends are registered.
So I know we have early voting in this state too, starting sometime. I think that starts
Absolutely.
In October. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
October 15th through October 31st.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So we want to make sure that, and we're encouraging people to early vote. You know, as if at all possible, early vote.
That's,
just to make
that's
sure
what
that
I do.
Your vote
I
is
do
counted
that anyway.
No
yeah.
problem.
Right. 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 But while I came back, I'm not sure. I mean, I didn't know. So you said October the 9th is the last day to register?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people know that. I think we got to
no.
make sure.
That's why I'm on this amazing station. So that we can bring awareness. You know, I don't know that everybody, it hasn't been really pushed as much as I think it should. But you have organizations like NCLCV that are out there really, you know, getting the word out as often as we can. The importance of making sure you register to vote, the importance of the deadline to register to vote, and then early voting and what those dates are.
All right, so here's the tough question, right? And there's no excuse for it, but it's going to happen. I missed October the 9th, and I still want to vote, and I didn't register. What do I do?
It's going to be hard for your voice to be heard.
That's just not
your voice. So if you're not
the answer you want to hear,
that ain't what they want to hear. I'm just trying to let them know.
That's a very good question. You know, that's why we want to just take 2 minutes and double check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wevotenc.org/Pam, and that's actually the Raleigh office of NCLCV. Comes under, it goes, you know, under our office as far as your checking your voter registration. But that's why you want to get the word out to everybody you know, all your loved ones. You know, there's we have the COVID-19 pandemic. We have the racism pandemic. We got a lot of things going on, but we have to keep in mind also that it's Vote 2020, and we want to make sure that our loved ones are voting. And first, they have to be registered. So I would say, like we say, it's like a two-step plan. So first, you want to check your registration. If you're not registered, then you want to register, and then you want to call your family and your friends and people in your community, the elderly, and you want to make a voting plan. So you want to make sure that people, one, know where their polls are, early voting polls. You know, you can get all that information from your Board of Elections, and just make a plan with your family. You know, when do you plan to vote, and where are you going? You know, people move a lot, and so you don't want to, you know, doing early voting. The great part about early voting is you can go to any of the polls and vote. But, you know, on election day, you've got to go to the poll that you're assigned to. And, you know, sometimes that can cause confusion. So register, check your registration, register, call your friends and your family, and make a plan. Make a voting plan. So what is your plan? That's what we need to be asking our family and friends.
Wow. Well, Pam Thompson-Smith, again, give us knowledge. And by the way, I'm looking at a date 2 weeks from now, the 7th of October. Get you to come back on same time to just to make sure people to continue to encourage people that we only have a couple of days. You said the 9th is the final day to register to vote. Make sure that we kind of reiterate that. So let's make a date, Pam, come back on 2 weeks from the date and make sure we kind of reiterate that people need to register. Check them, make sure they're registered. And if they're not, they go ahead and register so they can vote. Okay.
Absolutely. It's a date. I'll be back. The firm will be back. But just remember, your vote is your voice. We vote, we matter, we count. So let's vote.
Ooh, nice.
RevoteNC/Pam. I mean, revoteNC.org/Pam, and you can
That's
you can get all kinds of information. I just went out there myself. But I'm ready. I'm ready to go. You make sure you are. If you hear this,
let's do it.
I know I'm ready.
All right, Pam. Thank you so much. Thank you for this message.
Appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Welcome to the show, the one and only Lauren Brownlow. What up, Brownlow?
What's going on, y'all?
What's going on with you? How you doing this morning?
How you doing, Brownlow?
Oh, you know, hanging in. Same old.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right into it. Notre Dame has already said, can't do it. Got too many. Won't be able to do it. Right move, of course, but here we are. Here we go.
Yeah, and from what I understand, it seems like a lot of their new positives came after the South Florida game, which would, of course, mean that you're looking at a two-week window there, I guess, for some of the contact tracing and some of the guys who tested positive. So that's not great news either. At least Notre Dame has an open date next week, so it wouldn't impact that. But, I mean, this is the reality of what we got now. And I think this is the one thing with the Big Ten schedule looking the way it does that I kind of have to shake my head at, because, I mean, we've seen it across the ACC already and across various other leagues and teams. Like, you're probably going to have to postpone some games. So trying to fit all of your games in without much of a cushion there like the Big Ten is doing is, it's an interesting choice.
That's very interesting, because we talked about that, and that was part of my concern. Again, we're talking Lauren Brown, LB, we rock with her each and every Wednesday, same place, same time. Yeah, because so they don't have any open dates or anything in the Big Ten, so you miss a couple of games, you may end up missing the season, seriously. So that's, to have them kind of lock themselves into that was interesting when I heard the schedule announcement.
Well, here's the thing, and I know I've said this with y'all, and I've been screaming it for anyone who will listen, and maybe eventually the powers that be in college football will listen to me. We can't treat this like it's a normal season. Like, we could try to talk about college football playoff and all that stuff, and maybe they'll do something like that. I don't know. But at the same time, like, how? I mean, Notre Dame's already missing a game. So, like, what do you do when you get down to it and you're talking about Team X versus Team Y? And almost certainly you're going to have had ACC teams playing more games than the Big Ten. I would guarantee almost that that's going to be the case. And so what do you do with that? You know, like, and it's just you get down to it and you start trying to compare and contrast and say Team X did this and Team Y and – I mean, what are you going to do? You going to punish a team for, you know, having to miss a game because of COVID? That's not a good thing to incentivize, because then teams are going to start trying to fudge what's going on a little bit. You don't want that. So I don't know. I really, really want us to sort of realize, okay, these guys are getting to play and that's great. And maybe you still have the conference championships as best you can, but I just don't know how you can have a college football playoff and call it normal and call it, you know, sort of a fair representation of anything that's going on this year in college football.
Well, it definitely wouldn't be a fair representation, I can tell you that.
I think it incentivizes bad behavior among the coaches, right? And for the most part, I think in college football, and I've been somewhat heartened by this, I think coaches are mostly doing the right things, even if I think some of the contact tracing and all of that has been frustrating for them. But, you know, I mean, the more you put at stake and the more you put on the line and say like, oh, well, you got to get to a college football playoff, the more you're going to kind of incentivize, in my opinion, coaches to do the wrong thing. And that's not what we want either. So I don't know. I'm just kind of at the point where it's like, is anybody just going to say what we all know to be true, that like, this is not a normal season and it's cool that they're getting to play because they want to play, but we can't sit here and pretend like we're going to be able to sit down at a table and figure out who should go to the college football playoff.
You know that you already know where they're going with it and where it's going to start. So with this being said, real quick, I just wanted to ask, so, you know, the ACC has the protocols, they're working the protocols, teams have kind of, you know, Chapman, UNC, you know, had to sit out one, Notre Dame is now doing it. The SEC gets kicked into full gear. What level of confidence do you have that the SEC is going to follow any semblance of the rules?
Oh, geez. Wow. Right out of the gate with that. I mean, listen.
I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, I mean, I just do not. This is just me. This K-Mac. I just don't envision them playing by the rules. I just don't.
I do. You know, I'm balancing out my impulses here because I got to say, I was slightly concerned with what Coach O had to say last week about
exactly.
his team.
Yeah.
To say the least, like, and I know I got a bunch of people freaking out in my mentions, like, well, what? He didn't say he's letting his team get COVID on purpose. I'm like, I understand that's not what he's saying. I'm like, y'all are burying the lead here. Like, he has literally said almost his entire team has had COVID-19, and he just hopes right. they don't get it again. And I'm sitting there, like, I read that like four times, and I'm like, there's so much wrong here. I don't even know what to say. Like, what do you mean most of your team has had it? Like, even Clemson, like, when they had their outbreak earlier, they had, like, they had 30-some players. Most of a football team's, like, 50, 60. I mean, right. what are we talking about here? Like, what are we even doing? So, like, yeah, that's a lot, man. Like, that's not great. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, it remains to be seen, right? And I get what you're saying. I don't necessarily disagree because we'll see. But, I mean, you know, they have protocols laid out. They're supposed to have to follow them. And if they cancel games like everybody else, I think I will feel more confident in that. But if you see them going on all their games without a hitch and nobody says anything, yeah, you might start to yeah. be a little concerned.
Hey, real quick, let me tell you, I will be shocked if I mean, seriously, I will be shocked if they have no cases the whole season. They're like, I don't see what's going on with SEC. Well, you know, they just do it different down there. That's what they do.
Yeah, it just means more or less.
They have their own bubble. They have their own bubble, just like they did for the NBA. And that's how yeah. they're doing it so much yeah. better than everyone else. That's why.
Right.
Trust me.
That's how the whole team got COVID. Yeah. So it's like the opposite of a bubble.
And we found out like about a month later. Oh, okay, thanks for telling us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Right. That's the other thing. It's like wild. He's just like casually like, you know, yeah, the whole team had it. Hope they don't get it again. Well, and I'm like, what?
What do you what? Want, a yeah. cookie? Like,
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Man. He said what now?
Oh, man. We up against the Brownlow. Like, real quickly, about 30 seconds here. Cam Newton, you happy with the play? You happy? You feel good? Because I know you're a Cam Newton fan.
I'm happy for him. He deserved an opportunity to play for an organization that knows what to do with him. So I'm happy for him.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes store.